The National Human Trafficking Hotline, operated by the nonprofit Polaris, reported a more than 35% increase in the illegal activity in the U.S. last year. The states with the most cases were California, Texas, and Florida. International efforts are ongoing to limit human trafficking and punish offenders. Awareness has been raised, but activists consider it to be an uphill battle. The McCain Institute held its second annual human trafficking symposium this week, and Cindy McCain is with us to talk about that. Mrs. McCain, the Super Bowl was just played, and that has purportedly been an event rife with human trafficking. Is that still the case, and what's being done to improve that situation?
Unfortunately, it is still the case, but here are the advancements that have been made. Communities are now much more aware of what's going on. Houston was very good about they were already active, but becoming more active on it. And training and awareness became a major portion of what they were doing. With training and awareness, we can stop this. So unfortunately, we haven't stopped it, you know, around the world, and haven't stopped it at big sporting events or big events. But I think the numbers are going to show it was much less than we thought it was going to be.
Generally, what are some best practices? Because at least some of us who are in news and have followed what you've been doing and others, there does seem to be a raising of awareness. That seems to be at least less of an issue. But once awareness is raised, what are some other steps being taken?
I'll take, for instance, speaking to a business group, which I do quite often. And these are groups that are not normally involved in politics necessarily or in the arena of public policy, those things. So what I tell them is, first of all, you need to train your people. Very easily done. There's some online resources. There's some tools that are simple tools, but that are basic training on what to do, what to look for, and how to handle it if you actually run upon it. And then, of course, the awareness level and making sure that it continues to be part of the conversation within your company, within your school, within your community, your neighborhood, your community centers, things like that. These are simple tools, but they're very, very necessary, and we need to keep not only focused on it, but keep it going.
How do you reduce demand? Are people who would be doing this not the types of people who would respond to this kind of thing?
Demand is unfortunately a piece of this puzzle that has not been adequately addressed. Demand is half the puzzle. It's half of it. And we continue in too many communities to treat it either as a misdemeanor or as, you know, kind of it's a good old boy, so it's really not, you know, not a big deal, or that the young lady that was part of all of this was a prostitute and wanted it. You know, she was there willingly. What we're trying to do, and what I think many other organizations are trying to do within the United States now, is to criminalize the demand in a major way. I mean, these men are committing child abuse. It is rape of a child. So this is statutory rape and child abuse. Those bear weight of totally different consequences than, say, solicitation. So we're trying to change the language, change the attitude, and change the approach to our demand.
And how can our judicial system weigh in on that as well? Do there need to be harsher penalties? Does there need to be more awareness there as well?
Yes. Part of what we do also, and part of what other organizations are doing, is training the judiciary, training our judges, training our local prosecutors, training advocates that work in courts for people, teaching them what human trafficking is, training them again, awareness, and making them aware also of the statutes that already exist that are on the books and how those should be, might be, could be changed to help the victims of human trafficking.
I also wonder about technology. Are there pluses and minuses to that? The idea that technology can help perhaps rescue someone faster, but technology can also give those offenders an easier chance to do human trafficking.
Oh, technology. What a problem. I love my cell phone as much as anybody else and my computer and all that, but technology is about 85 to 87% of all buyers buy a child online. So these customers are actually going to organizations like Backpage.com, Craigslist, and others, and purchasing a child for sex online. The technology aspect of this is critical in how we deal with it. And we are going to have to make a change to the Communications Decency Act.
When we have the new president talking about being harder on certain countries, whether it's refugees or other aspects of things, I would think there would have to be international cooperation to make some of the advances you're talking about. So can that be done in the current environment?
Well, yes, I do think it can be done. And here's why. In the area of human trafficking, particularly, you know, we've already passed some very strong legislation for international purposes on this issue that would be very helpful. Then it becomes up to the State Department and of course, those of us that are in the NGO world to then begin the real laborious in the trench working on it. I do believe we can make a difference in this, and I don't think it matters what administration is involved in it because it's about the victim. And there are too many of us that care too deeply to not let this progress the way it is.
And we've been talking about the McCain Institute's second annual Human Trafficking Symposium with Cindy McCain. Mrs. McCain, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.